Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 6. I don't have any big surprises for you tonight. A new sermon, but not any surprises probably. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to go down and read verse 9 and start from there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to you tonight. It's been a busy week, been a busy day, and we have some folks sick. We pray you'd be with them. We certainly think about Lonnie wrestling with typhoid fever right now over in the Philippines. Please be with Grace and his kids, Lord, as he labors there. To get well, I pray you'd be with the church as he's under the weather for the moment. Father, we turn our hearts to home here tonight and to look to thee and ask you to be with us, Lord. We live in days that are dark in many respects. Father, we still have the bright promises of the Word of God, but still the fact remains that we hear bad news every day. In fact, we receive bad news about ourselves every day. And so, Father, it is easy to grow weary in some of the battles that we have to face. It is also easy to faint. I pray you might help us to guard against that. May we have some insight into ourselves here tonight. We pray you might minister to us through thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it says there in verse 9, everybody's familiar with the verse. I'm sure you've memorized it. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, now we shall reap if we faint not. I want to talk to you about fainting for a little while. It says, if we faint not. I was looking in the Word of God, and you know, it's funny that fainting is uniformly scattered throughout the Bible. Folks all the way back in Genesis were fainting, and folks all the way up in Revelation are fainting. So, fainting is one of those common things that we face as mortal human beings. It's just the way things go. There is trouble and fainting and weariness in every age. I am not as weary as Job was, but sometimes you do get tired of stuff and be nice for something to go away, and it doesn't go away. So you have to guard against fainting. And the other thing along that line is, with regard to fainting, if you'll look in Galatians 6:9 again, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, that indicates to me that fainting is, you know, it's one thing for somebody to say, I grew weak and fainted. I have to admit, I preached about it some years back, but a couple of years ago, you know, after the stroke and stuff, I had a little accident, not a big deal, but I cut my finger and it hurt. And I mean, 10 minutes later, I fainted like a little girl. And that's something that very, very, very seldom ever happens to me. And as far as I can tell, I couldn't have helped that. But if I read this right, the responsibility of not fainting is with you. It's not about whether my trial or trouble or weariness overcomes me. Spiritually speaking, I believe that it's your responsibility and that you and I control whether or not we do or do not faint. Look, if you would, in Deuteronomy 20, and I'm going to have you turn to several passages tonight, so please keep a Bible kind of open and handy. Deuteronomy 20, and notice verse 3. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. That plainly leaves the responsibility of not fainting in the hands of the Israelites going to battle. And so that's what I'd like to leave you with before going on here. I'm preaching tonight on advice for the faint. Now, I'm not trying to draw your attention to somebody you really know, although most of us have been in this battle for long enough now, to know somebody In fact, to know more than one somebody in the Christian life that one day, basically if it comes down to it, what they did was they fainted. Okay? And they're not in the battle anymore, at least not in this part of the battle at all. And that part is not good. I just want to say, they were not overcome by spiritual forces that they could not resist. I want to say they were not overwhelmed with the world and with the flesh that came upon them in a broad frontal attack that overcame all their fortifications and defenses all at once. That is not what happened with fainting. I want to say that they were not merely subjugated by a superior enemy. They had the responsibility to not faint, but they fainted. No, it really was not the fellow Christian's fault. No, it really was not the church's fault that didn't properly support me or feel sorry enough for me or give me what I needed. That is not the reason somebody faints. No, it really wasn't really just time to open another chapter in my life and go on to something else and leave behind all the foundations spiritually I've laid and go on to something else, either a new family or a new church or a new this or that or that. No, that's not the case. But the bottom line is, folks get to a point and they get weary and they get tired of fighting some of the same battles. And it's not that any one thing overwhelms them. It's just that they get weary enough and discouraged enough at a certain point, they decide, this is where I'm going to quit. And I'm going to use this as an excuse and that as an excuse. And the fact of the matter is, that's where they faint. They faint where they choose to quit fighting, and it's their responsibility for doing so. So, in light of that, in light of the fact that I do truly believe that if I faint spiritually, that it's my responsibility that I have done so, and I therefore feel the same thing to be true of you, I have some advice for the faint tonight. Let's go over all the way to Genesis 45. Again, it goes from one end of the Bible to the other. Genesis 45, but just some simple things that'll keep you in the battle when you feel weary and when you start flirting with the idea of maybe not getting up and fighting this battle quite like this anymore. Genesis 45, if you go down to verse 26, Jacob is about to be reunited with his son Joseph after all these years in Egypt and all that sort of thing. And the boys come back from learning that this man in Pharaoh's office is actually Joseph after all these years. Nonetheless, it says down in Genesis 46, down in verse 26, they told him, this is telling Jacob, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Okay, folks, notice that his heart fainted because he believed them not. Let me just take you to another verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Go down to verse 13. Proverbs. No, I'm sorry. It's Psalm. I'm sorry. I knew that wasn't right. Psalm 27. I'm sorry. Psalm 27. Had that moment of a panic there. It's not there. It's a different book. Psalms 27. Psalms 27, and notice verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now that verse back there said that Jacob's heart fainted because he didn't believe the good news that arrived. And here in this verse it says in 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So I have some advice in that respect then for somebody that may be a little faint of heart, that's weary of the battle. Look, You have to have faith in the good news. When you hear good news from the Word of God, it's not just good news from anywhere. When you hear good news from a far country, it's as cold waters to a thirsty soul. Listen, when you get word of promises from the Word of God, you have to believe those promises, or else you're going to faint. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well, if you don't want to faint, you have to have faith at good news. You just do. We walk by faith and not by sight. Everybody here is aware of that. We are upholden by faith and not by sight. Not just faith in anything, but faith in God's promises. Faith in what God said. Faith in how God said He would resolve things. How God said He would resolve things in your life if you will just do certain things. You may tire of not seeing certain things resolved. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And I'll tell you what, if you wind up fainting, the reason you faint will be because you decide to forsake a promise and walk away from it because you are so tired of believing this promise, and it doesn't fully come to pass. I got news for you. There's only one second coming of Christ. Okay? So, you can't have partial fulfillments all the time to encourage you. You can't see it ever but one time. You can't get saved but one time. So, all I'm saying here is folks, if you feel yourself a little faint, a little weary, it is very important that you have to believe, you have to have faith in good news. The good news of the Bible, the good news of Bible verses you have known for years and years and taken a hope in at different times. What happens is folks get into a position where they just get tired of having faith, and that's where they roll over and play dead and don't go any further in the Christian life. You can't faint. You cannot faint there. Those promises are true. My advice to you, if you don't want to faint, is you have to have faith in the good news. You cannot roll over and die there. Now, again, I believe that you choose where you roll over and die. I believe that I know very well some Christians that aren't in the battle tonight. And it's not the fact that they were grossly overwhelmed by the enemy, either the world, the flesh, or the devil. They made some bad decisions. They got discouraged. They got tired of waiting on God to bring some certain fulfillments to pass. And one day they woke up and decided, I'm just not going to have faith anymore. Not in this. I'm not going to fight this battle anymore. And they laid down and they fainted and they're out of the race. Now, they controlled that. They control that. This is not like a germ that goes around that you can't help it sometimes if you get strep throat. But you can help whether you faint or not. You can. All right, there's something else I'd have you see. Look in Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. First of all, you have to have faith at good news. When the Bible, when the Word of God comes in, a sermon is preached, somebody sends a card, you're reminded by the Holy Spirit of a verse, of a promise, and you are on the border of being discouraged and fainting, you have to believe that good news. Because God is true, and God will bring it to pass. But Leviticus 26, go down to verse 36, Leviticus 26 and 36. And the Lord here is talking to Israel very straight about the fact that He will judge them for their idolatry, for their wickedness in going after idols and such. And He says down in verse 36, after telling them of several other judgments that will come to pass, upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, they shall fall when none pursueth. He says, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. Now again, this is after several other judgments that have come to pass. He said they're going to be in bad shape, and I'm going to send a faintness into their hearts. Well, this is Israel under God's judgment. But folks, that just reminds me of a truth that is very true. I find it in my own heart. Ladies and gentlemen, folks can be spooked by nothing. He said, I'm going to send a faintness into their hearts to such an extent that the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. Well, a shaken leaf is not a threat to you. And I just want to say that to somebody that might be a little faint, don't flee from shadows. Now, I know this is God's judgment on Israel. I know they'll have been through a hard time, and there comes a day where faintness enters their heart and God's the author of it. Okay, God is not the author of a Christian's faintness. But I will say this, I have known Christians that get spooked and scared by nothing. And most of us know what it is to be spooky and jumpy sometimes about something. And maybe it's just something you fear. Maybe it's something that you worry about. Maybe it's something that you expect to happen and you just surely hope doesn't. I mean, you have an innocent little spot on your skin and your imagination gets away from you. And before you know it, you're imagining yourself with skin cancer and it's not even being diagnosed. But you run in fear from that thing. I just want to say that there comes a point spiritually that one of the reasons folks faint is because they run from shadows. They're scared of things they should not be scared of. Oh, says the slothful man, there's a lion in the streets. If I get up and go to work, I'll be killed. It's not really too much of a threat. Some people faint over things that never materialize. I admitted to you a couple weeks back that I am a genetic worry wart left to myself. If I'm not busy with other stuff and have time to grow self-centered and so on, I'll tend to worry and fret and stew about things. And I, as a habitual worrier before I got right with God, I don't do that too much anymore, but I just know what it's like to imagine all the things that can go wrong and might go wrong. In fact, they're probably going wrong right now. And that shaken leaf over there is the sound of a lion stalking me. And anything that happens to the baby, I presume the baby's going to die. And any germ that I pick up is probably going to kill me. And all this sort of thing. I just want to say sometimes, folks, that sometimes you're your own worst enemy. Don't flee from shadows. He says here, I'll send a faintness into Israel's heart. They'll have already been judged. But listen, folks, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. And how many times have you fretted and worried about stuff for days or weeks, and that when finally everything came to light, it was nothing to worry about at all? And how much energy did you spend fretting and worrying and frankly running from it? I'm just giving some advice to the faint this morning or tonight. Don't flee from shadows. Don't flee from shadows. How about this? Look at, if you would, over to 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14. First Samuel chapter 14. Men were faint all through the Bible and threatened to faint all through the Bible. But it is revealed to us that you should not faint. You have the power to not faint, spiritually anyway. You may not be able to run a 26-mile marathon, but spiritually you don't have to faint. You may be too sick to get up and go do something terribly physical or exhausting, but spiritually You don't have to faint. 1 Samuel chapter 14, go down to verse 28. 1 Samuel 14, 28. And, of course, this is the battle where with the Philistines, the Israelites have gone out against them, and Saul has made a proclamation that ranks up there in stupidity pretty high. He's got an army that he's sending into battle with a strong and fortified enemy, and he tells them not to eat. 1 Samuel 14, 28. I'm all for fasting, but I can tell you this, if you're going into a battle and you have a choice, you ought to eat something before you go. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 28. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day." And the people were faint. They were faint because they had exerted themselves in battle. They were faint then because of the exertions that they had not eaten. They were weak and needed food. So that leads me to some very sound advice. You have to eat. Now, most of us don't have problems with this in a physical way, but listen, folks, you have to eat. Here you have an army of Saul's army. Every appearance of military readiness, battle flags flying, the ranks all dressed and set, ready to go to battle, and it looks really good. But the truth of the matter is, they've had no food for a couple of days. So, here are churches assembled in the last days. They're assembled and they come together during perilous times, and they are stacked up against the forces of hell. There are spiritual principalities and powers in high places that oppose them. The world opposes them. And it looks pretty good because their pews are packed, and it sure looks like they're an army ready to fight. But they haven't been fed. And they haven't eaten. And so faintness is going to be an issue. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to eat. Again, most of us don't have a problem with that physically. But the best among us have trouble with that spiritually. Don't tell me that the strongest among us at times don't feel like reading your Bible, don't feel like going to church today to get fed. Listen, if you don't want to faint, you've got to eat. It's amazing how quickly a strong man can weaken if he doesn't eat spiritually. You're just not that strong. You're just not that fortified. You spend several days without the Bible, without prayer, and without spiritual food. You spend a few weeks away from church. Oh, you're busy, and this happened, and I had this thing happen, and this funeral, and this family gig, and Christmas, and Thanksgiving, and Easter, and all that. And before you know it, you're out for, a couple months, and nobody's seen much of you. And tell you what, you're not going to be better for it. And you may still be able to give the outside appearance of being strong, and you may not have lost your testimony, but the fact of the matter is, if you don't want to faint, you have got to eat. You have got to eat. Spiritually, folks don't get fat like folks get fat physically. I mean, you know, we have proven, you know, you can pack away enough to live for 2 or 3 weeks without too much worry if it comes down to it physically. But I tell you what, you cannot survive 3 weeks spiritually if you are not eating. Because you don't pack away the fat spiritually. The Lord doesn't let you. You gather just enough for the day, and tomorrow's a new day. You have got to eat. If you don't want to faint, you have to eat. Look in Job 4. Look in Job 4. Now, this is Eliphaz the Temanite speaking. Eliphaz and company, Job's so-called friends, are not, they're more to be taken with a grain of salt than anything else, because a lot of things they say are not really 100% true, as pertaining to Job anyway. But notice chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If we essay to commune with thee, Job, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled." Now, I'm not convinced this is not a false accusation towards Job. I don't think that Eliphaz is in much of a mood to cut Job any slack. And I'm not sure that what he said is true about Job. I will say this. The statement that he made is sound enough as it stands alone. Sound enough for us to apply it to ourselves, if not Job. I want you to know, you have to have realistic expectations. I mean, in chapter 4, verse 4, he says of Job, he says, listen. Well, verse 3, "Behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest." Now, I'm not quite so sure that Job fainted, okay? But I know some other folks that have. I know sometimes the reason that they have is because they don't have realistic expectations. They think they should be able to teach and advise and counsel and talk, and that certain things will never come upon them. Well, I'm here to tell you that there are things that I've suffered that I didn't think would come upon me. And I doubt very seriously if Caleb Darling ever thought he would be a diabetic. I doubt very seriously that there are folks that are sitting in this room here tonight that have certain maladies and things that are wrong with them or whatever, that they're going through trials or whatever. I bet some of you never thought that this would be the thing that you would have to bear. How many folks lived in a romantic netherworld where they thought that once they were married, everything was going to be just fine, and lo and behold, it wasn't all just fine. And as it turns out, some things came upon you out of your marriage, perhaps with your children, perhaps your children's health, that you never imagined would happen to you, and you were so free to give advice and counsel and to think thoughts about somebody else or to give a counsel and advice to somebody else about some of those things until it came upon thee. The brutal fact is, ladies and gentlemen, to keep from fainting, you have to have some realistic expectations. The brutal fact is that you get to hope and pray for the best, but you should prepare for the worst. I live with the fact that I had both mom and dad and several grandparents on both sides that died of cancer, okay? Well, I don't want cancer, so I'm hoping for the best and praying for the best. But don't think that I haven't thought realistically that one day I might face it. I'm not going to drop a bomb on you tonight that I know of, but I'm just saying that you have to have some realistic expectations. I bet Luann never anticipated having cancer a few years back. But she did, and came through, and praise the Lord. But you know what? It would have been easy to faint back there, I think, right? Just say, maybe this is not for me. I just want to say, you have to have realistic expectations. Don't flee shadows, but brace yourself. Because you're going to go through something before this is over, right? Maybe it's not what you think. You have to have realistic expectations. Look at something else. Look in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. Like I said, if you don't want to faint, you've got to believe good news when you hear it, when you receive it. If you don't want to be faint, don't flee from shadows. You have to eat. have realistic expectations. Then there's this, Proverbs 24, notice verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, considering that we're having realistic expectations now, right? If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So what's the obvious answer? Increase strength. Right? Increase strength. Now, I can't go through all that the Bible says about strength, but I can point you to a few places. Look in Proverbs chapter 10 real quick. I'm going to just give you a few verses on strength. And you ought to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You ought to labor every day to increase strength. Most of you eat food every day. If you're disciplined spiritually, you will eat every day spiritually. You need to make sure that you're increasing strength day by day. Proverbs chapter 10, go down to verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. If you're going to increase strength, if you're not going to be weak in the day when adversity comes, then you need to day by day strengthen yourself in the way of the Lord. Right? Look in Proverbs chapter 8, since we're back near it. Proverbs 8, 14. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. This goes all the way back to talking about wisdom. Verse 1, doth not wisdom cry, understanding put forth her voice. She is talking from the first person as the one that's doing this. So by the time you get down to verse 14, you read, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to be wise. You need to increase in wisdom. Look again in Proverbs 24. I'm not going to run you around much longer here with this one because there's too much to cover. But if your strength fails you in the day of adversity, it's because the strength is small. If you get faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So, increase strength. Look in Proverbs 24, verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Now, I know you have to put aside that little tinny voice in the back of your head that says, well, knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge does puff up. But you are admonished over and over and over and over again in the Bible to gain the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and grace. It should not make you heady. It should not make you high-minded. So knowledge should not puff you up. Knowledge should make you stronger. Now, go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Along that line, Colossians 1. If you don't want to faint, you need to increase strength. You need to get wisdom. You need to know the Bible better. You need to have ready on hand ammunition that you can use one day when things are going really bad for you. Colossians chapter 1, go down to verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause, we also, this is Paul, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, Colossians, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice how many times it's already mentioned knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might. But being strengthened with all might is preceded by being filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's preceded by increasing in the knowledge of God. Look, if you don't want to be faint in the day of adversity, get stronger. You're going to have to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I wonder if you had some sort of a thermometer on the wall and you were able to objectively view where you were January 1st in 2013 versus January 1st of 2014. How you doing? What'd you learn this last year? Besides, I knew how to play a new game of poker or whatever. What'd you learn this year spiritually? What did you pick up in understanding and true knowledge and wisdom that'll help you? Because one day you're going to need it. We live in perilous times and dark hours, and there's going to be things that happen. And if you faint in that day, it's your strength that's small, and it'll be your responsibility for fainting. I have something else for you. Look at Isaiah 1. Next thing. Isaiah chapter 1. Just two or three more here. Isaiah chapter 1. Advice to the faint. Believe the good news when it comes. Don't flee shadows. You have to eat. You need to have realistic expectations about life. Someday you're going to die. Someday you're going to face sickness. You're going to face setbacks. You've got to have realistic expectations. Increase strength. How's this? Isaiah 1, go down to verse 5. The Lord is talking to His kids. His kids, in this case, being Israel. And He says, why should you be stricken anymore? He said, I have been chastening you. I have been judging you. I have been striking you. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. But He said in verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? I can't just keep whipping you. You will revolt more and more. Now, folks, we're the children of God. And I know that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Right? So there's a couple things to remember in all that, not the least of which is, don't revolt. Verse 5. He said, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. Lord says, I'm calling it off. I'm letting you go. I'm going to quit chastening you because it's just making you more and more rebellious. You're revolting. I don't know. I've had a few times in my life that I've really resented what the Lord was trying to do to me and with me. And I can't say but that I didn't revolt a little bit. And I believe that I know Christians, that I believe that I know that I can see the Lord having dealt with them about one thing or another for years and years and years and years. And it seems like they're in the rut and they don't get anywhere. And the fact is, they resent what God's doing with them. They resent the fact that they can't seem to get out of that rut. If you can't get out of the rut with the Lord, is it a worthy consideration that just maybe you're not learning the lesson that the Lord would have you learn? Is it possible that you're resentful and revolting against what the Lord's trying to teach you? Now, I can't answer that question for anybody here, and you can't answer it for me. But you can answer it in your own heart, because you know whether you resent what the Lord's doing or not. If you don't want to faint, don't revolt when the Lord's trying to teach you something. How about this? Isaiah 40, just a few more, just two or three more. Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40, go down to verse 29. Now you know these verses. He, the Lord, verse 29, giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My advice to the faint is wait. It's wait. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I know, you know, you've heard it preached on so many times, you're probably blue in the face with it. But you will wait upon God. And if you don't want to faint, you have to settle it in your mind that you're going to wait until He brings it to pass. Now, stay in your Bible. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice verse 14, if you want to just look at waiting. We're waiting for something to happen right now. We're waiting on the rapture. We're waiting to get out of this mortal, temporal, corruptible body. It says in verse 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Well, for which cause we faint not? For which cause? For the cause that there is a rapture coming, there's a resurrection coming, and we're waiting on that thing to happen. And because we're waiting on that thing to happen, we're not fainting. Because it's real. It's an expectation. It's a hope. I have my hopes set on not dying in this life. I have my hopes set on being changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the rapture. I want Jesus Christ to come back before I die. And because that hope is real, because I am waiting, I'm not fainting because of it. You see, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall not faint. You need to set in your heart that you're going to wait. However long it takes, you got to wait. Got quiet there. Okay. Just a couple more things. Jonah 2. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians, but go to Jonah chapter 2, and I promise, I'm almost done. Almost. Jonah chapter 2. Now, I've preached many times on what Jonah went through and what this stands for, but notice down in chapter 2, verse 7, after out of the belly he cried and being involved with being in the whale's belly and so on. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I have some advice for the faint. Remember. You need to remember some things. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We were just looking at 2 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I, was going through this thing, and then I remembered some things. Well, how about chapter 4, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I mean, he said, I'm going through these things, I have to remember that I'm a minister of Jesus Christ. I have to remember, I have to think about the fact that we have this ministry. It's my responsibility. You need to remember some things. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, real quick. Remember, consider some stuff. We're quick to forget. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. How do you keep from fainting? Consider. Remember to consider. Next time you're ready to say, okay, I quit. You need to remember to consider some things. Consider what he did. Consider not acting like a selfish boob today. Consider going back and thinking about the price Jesus Christ paid. Remember, look down, if you would, in verse 4 of chapter 12. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. No matter how frustrated you get, no matter how faint you feel, you have not yet shed a drop of blood resisting sin. You're just not a hero. You've just not been pushed all that far. You need to remember. Look in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation. You forgot it. So you need to remember it. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You need to remember. Okay, I got one more thing for you, then I'm going to let you go. So just go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, real quick. This is advice to the faint. It's going to be your responsibility if you lay down and roll over. Some of the folks that you know, I'm not asking you to put names or faces to them, but there are folks that you know that aren't in the battle right now. And I don't know if they'll get back in or not. But the fact of the matter is, there came a day they got frustrated enough, weak enough, whatever enough, backslidden enough. They decided it wasn't any one thing. It was not the Christians that they blamed. It was not the church that they blamed. It was not all the things going on in my life that they blamed. The fact of the matter is, they got tired of fighting this battle, and this is the place where they decided to give up. They rolled over and they fainted. Okay, that's the truth. Now, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He spake a parable unto them, unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, brethren, you can either faint or you can pray. Now, if you don't want to faint, then pray. Pray instead of fainting. I wonder how your prayer life is, really. All those tears you've shed, all the time you've spent in self-pity, the time that you've spent burdened with all the things that are not going right in your life, I wonder how your prayer life is. I don't suspect. I'm just asking. I wonder how your prayer life is. It says that men, Jesus Christ said that men ought to pray and not to faint. That's one end of the spectrum versus the other. Somebody that faints doesn't do so in the counsel of the Lord. He doesn't do so in the midst of prayer and say, Lord, I'm just going to check out. We'll see you. He doesn't do it in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You need to pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you tonight for admonishment. We are a spoiled generation, Father. We've lived good lives here where we live in this country. We have enjoyed great privilege in many ways, spiritually and otherwise. And Father, our fathers and forefathers before us went through much more hardship than we have. I pray that you might help us to not quickly faint. Father, we've addressed the fact that we are each responsible for not fainting in our own hearts and minds. And I pray you'd help us along that line. Father, I pray you might give folks an honest spirit of self-examination here tonight. Most of us have struggled with discouragement at one point or another, probably even recently for most folks. And I know that sometimes we get that way. And because we are not reading the Bible, because we are not praying, it gets really easy to contemplate the possibility of just laying down and rolling over. I pray, Father, that You'd help us in that. We sang a song called Soldiers of Christ Arise. That's what needs to happen now, at this day and this hour. So I pray You'd help us and strengthen us by this message tonight. Help us not be faint. Now, if the Lord spoke to you tonight, let me give you an opportunity to come. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's watching whether you come or not. It's no secret that it's a day of great disappointments, great frustrations, discouragements. You see failings in folk that you thought and hoped you would never see. I know that. Brothers and sisters in Christ disappoint you. Just the way things happen in life disappoint. You had hoped this other thing would turn out so much better than it did, and it didn't. It's really easy at junctures like that to think the worst of the Lord and to think that maybe since He doesn't appreciate you as much as you think that you should be appreciated, because He doesn't treat you the way that you would like, maybe you should withdraw your faithfulness to Him. Just kind of bow out of the battle. After all, if you're not getting soldier's reward, then the Lord doesn't treat you better than that. Maybe just bow out. But you're responsible for fainting. If you quit, it's not going to be somebody else's fault. And you'll maybe try to blame somebody. You'll maybe blame the preacher or the deacon or a clique of people in church or something like that. But the truth of the matter is, when it's all said and done, you chose to bow out. Find number 286 and stand. Sing a couple of verses here before we're dismissed tonight. Number 286.
y'all for being here today. Appreciate it. Another Sunday come and gone. We're going to have Jeff, Tom, Zach pray for us and dismiss us tonight.
Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight. And Lord, we struggle with a lot of things going on in our life. We know that we should bravely run the race because at the finish, there are so many rewards for all of us. When we run that race, Lord, we hope that you give us the strength to go on, not to faint, but to keep going, knowing that what you did on the cross for our sins is the best thing we could have ever received. So we ask you humbly to let us go forth and be strong and deal with all our problems bravely and strongly.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you for coming.